Blog Talk Radio. Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew Miles Sebastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight is my co-host, Nicole. She's also the producer of the show who makes this all possible. She's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Now, tonight we're going to be taking your calls, talking about love, maybe talking to those who've crossed over. The call-in number is 646-929-0958. Now, last week I had to man the ship by myself. I did the best I could, but of course there was no chat room. So you can go back to the chat room tonight. It was like, no way was I doing the chat room. And Nicole, can you tell us a little bit about what you were doing when you had your week off? Because everybody was kind of curious.
What would Everybody take was
you
what?
Away from us? Curious, what would have taken
oh,
you?
My friend and I decided that a couple of weeks ago, prior to even realizing that it was a Thursday, we got invited to a show, and at the very last minute, I was reminded, oh, hey, by the way, we have that thing tomorrow, and I went, oh, no. So I scrambled to go and get you, and we went to a concert on Thursday evening, and then we wound up going all over Hell's Half Acre for the weekend, and we just had a great time. It was very nice and cathartic. It was my little mental sabbatical.
And that's what we need. We were talking about that. Next week we'll be taking off because we need a little time off this summer. Nicole and I have been working like nonstop, so you know, tonight's your night to ask questions if you have them. I do want to tell you that I'll be at Sparkling Point Vineyard in Southold on Sunday from 12 to 6. It's a free event, and there will be a lot of authors from Long Island Authors. That's an organization that I belong to. By the way, I was just made a board member, so that's interesting.
Congratulations.
And we're going to be there signing our books, and, of course, you can sample the wine, and it's just a beautiful place on the North Fork. So if you get some time, please check that out. And, again, I just learned that I was nominated Best Psychic 2011 by the Long Island Press, so we've got
Woo-hoo!
That happening. So there's some good things happening all across the board. Now, I see we do have some callers, and I guess we're going to dive right in there.
We always dive right in because I can't screen the first call.
Okay, good. Okay,
all right, we're going to head over to 631 area code.
Okay.
And here we go, Sin.
Okay.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Cindy. Who is this?
Hey, how you doing? This is Tom.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good. So I'm wondering if you have a question today or something you want to share with us.
Oh, I do have I have two questions for
okay,
you.
Okay, good.
I have a job. I have a pretty good job, but you're always wondering, like, if there's something better out there for you. And so I've been applying to other – I'm in the education field. So I've been applying to other districts, and I got some calls this week, and I got a couple of interviews next week. But I'm just wondering if it's even – you know, am I going to be staying where I am, or should I be looking elsewhere?
Okay. Sometimes when that little voice inside of us says we should start looking, it doesn't necessarily come from our own thoughts. It could come from above, a person who loves us, who's crossed over, or our spirit guide letting us know that it is time to move on. Sometimes they're telling us because they know our job might not exist in the next few years. Perhaps it could be with cutbacks or, you know, layoffs.
Yeah.
But in your, you know what I'm saying? So sometimes, you know, a lot of my clients that are still unemployed after 2 or 3 years, I need to tell you that they were getting that little voice telling them to leave their job 3 years ago, but they felt like, oh, it's, you know, it's safe, it's secure, I'll stay. Well, they did get laid off pretty soon after that, maybe a year later, and they've had a hard time finding a job. So, you know, at this point, looking is never a bad thing. You do have the Wheel of Fortune, by the way, Tom, so pretty much anything you want in the next 5 years is yours.
Oh, really?
So, you know, looking is a good thing. The outcome looks good. It looks like you're going to be offered another job. Again, you will weigh, you know, the consequences back and forth. You know, you have a pretty good job. Do you love it at this point?
I actually do, and it's really, it's not a bad job, but you just, like in this economy, you just, like you said before, you never really know what can happen, and a couple of years down the road, who's to say if they make changes and cutbacks, you know, you're right. But
so that's why it's good to look. It's also good, even if you don't take it, it gives you some confidence to know, hey, if this job disappears tomorrow, you know, I'm still, you know, out there getting interviews, and I could still get another job if I wanted. And it does look like the job you have is definitely secure. You're very good at your job, by the way. And again, it does call for a little bit of courage to even get out there and look. And sometimes, you know, that's something we need, to just see what's out there. So I think it was important. I'm seeing sometimes also, for those of you listening, when we're getting a little voice telling us to make a change in our life, it may be leading us toward our soulmate, or, you know, another group of people that could lead us to our soulmate. So, you know, the voice may be coming for several reasons. So, you know, it's best to pursue it. And it's also good to just, you know, hone your interviewing skills a little bit. Are you feeling positive about going to the job interviews?
No, not really, because this career changed for me a few years ago, and I'm not a 20, you know, 5-year-old kid who's out there looking. And I feel like that's all that these schools look for, is just like the young ones. And, like, I feel like they look at me, and, you know, I'm a 47-year-old man, and I just feel like I'm always too old. Not that they would ever tell me that, but I've been on so many interviews before, and I never got the job. And I just feel like this is just either a waste of time, or maybe this is...
Okay, if you feel that way, and if you feel your age is a problem, it's going to be one. In the laws of attraction, the laws of attraction are really very simple. We need to see ourselves in that new job. We need to see ourselves acing that interview. And we need not to have the object of our age in the way. And, you know, sometimes it becomes almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. And I'm not saying age isn't a prejudice, because it certainly can be. But, you know, I was a person that was forced to sort of portray characters as an entertainer that I was way too old to portray for a long time. And I think my energy was youthful, and I did look fairly young for my age or whatever. But if I got it in my mindset that day that I was old and someone's going to complain, they did. If I didn't have that thought, it never happened. So I got to realize, God, I must be feeling old, and I'm projecting that energy, or I'm projecting that thought. So if you could project, you know, the thoughts going in there, and since you have nothing to lose, since you have a job.
Yeah, that's why I feel, you know, confident going in, knowing that there's nothing to lose, so.
Right, and that's the whole thing, and maybe it's just shaking you up a little bit to try to see what's out there. And, you know, as far as the next 5 years, they look very good for you, so I wouldn't worry about too much. You're getting a lot of divine guidance. Are you starting to feel it or sense it?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, there was something else I wanted to mention.
Sure.
I met someone about a month ago, and I just...
If I remember, we were talking about that in your reading, Tom.
Yeah, and you said it was going to happen around summertime or so.
And...
It's so far, it's like everything is good. There's a bit of a distance because it's, you know, not exactly around the corner, but that's something that could probably be worked out down the road. But just every...
How far a distance?
Everything seems to just be fine. Like, everything is, like, perfect.
Okay,
and
good.
And
are you going there with a positive thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I love it when that happens.
And how far away are you from this person? I know you said there's a distance.
Don't laugh. Pittsburgh.
Okay. Again,
but they're always here. Well, they're here a lot to do for work, so.
Good. And try not to, you know, sometimes people who have commitment phobias can conveniently use the distance as a negative or as a way of, you know, seeing each other less. So try to, like, see if there's not a way to bridge that distance if that's what you want to do. But it does look very positive, I need to tell you. Your cards are really good. They're probably the best 8 cards that I pulled all day on, and I've done like 13 readings today. So,
yeah. Really?
So these are very good cards. In the laws of karma, you really are learning lessons. Try to get the thought of age out of your head because, you know, you're at the age 47 where you start having those sort of midlife crisis, and it's normal. But it is a spiritual crisis, and I can honestly say I don't feel at 57 that my age has really been a factor in not getting me to move forward. Or I don't try not to think about it very much, and I think if we keep our energy young, people see us as young. And, you know, you do have a young energy about you. And I think you just need to go to those interviews just to feel a little confident.
Sure.
And if you get offered it, it doesn't mean you have to take it, but at least you say, okay, there's something else out there. But
right.
Do in the laws of karma, do your job to the best of your ability. Because
I do like where I am now, and I could see myself making, you know, working there for the rest of my life even. But you just, in a higher education, you just never know where things are going to end.
And you know what, and it has been the case lately for a lot of people. And I had a client who came today, and she's a wonderful social worker, and she had a really good job out in the Hamptons, and she got laid off, and she was really upset. And I kept seeing in her cards last month, I wouldn't worry about that. You're getting a better job offer, like with people who are nice and that you're going to want. I'm not worried about you. And, of course, she did get a new job, and she's, you know, loving it. So, you know, sometimes things happen for the better. She wasn't really thrilled with that job, and God sort of gave her a break in laying her off. And now, you know, something better opened up. So if we can just know if you're hardworking, you're always going to find work. But I'm seeing a lot of kind of stability here. And just move forward with a little courage in this relationship.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, I hope you'll call in again and let us know or email me and let me know what's going on. But I'm really happy to hear that news, by the way.
Oh, definitely. No, I wanted to tell you because you did mention that to me. And I was like, I got to talk to her.
I know. I love hearing it. And I got a wonderful email from a client that I met 2 years ago. And I'd given her a copy of my book. And she said a year ago, it was a year to the date when she finished reading my book. And she wrote down what her soulmate love would be like. That the soulmate came and that she's been really happy this year and just thanking me for, you know, helping her, you know, get positive and believe that there was that soulmate out there for her. So in the magic of believing, if you're looking for love, start writing down what your ideal soulmate would be like. And
that's exactly what you told me, and that's exactly what I did. And it's so funny because it worked out that way, and that's why I was just like, oh, I'm wondering if this one's the soulmate, you know?
And it looks really promising, by the way. It looks really good, you know, but remember, all love starts out looking good.
I know.
Our unhealed issues will bring it down to mediocre or toxic because we don't have to heal if it's mediocre or toxic. So if you find yourself not speaking nice or, you know, your mate not talking nice, we have to stop it right in the bud, nip it right in the bud. Say what we mean what we say. Don't be mean about it.
And oh, everything is so easygoing. Like, it's just so, it just flows. It's like butter.
Wow. Well, I'm so glad to hear that. And we do have a gazillion callers, so I'm going to pick the next caller.
But yeah, sure, absolutely.
For sharing that information. And email me, let me know if you got a job offer, because it does look really positive. It doesn't look like you're going to take it necessarily, but it does look like you're going to get it.
Okay. All right, definitely. I'll let you know. And thanks again, and I'll make an appointment with you soon.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks, Cindy. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Don't I have the best clients. I love my clients.
You really do.
I have, like, the best clients. If you're in my house ever hearing my messages, and, you know, you wouldn't know I'm running a business here, but everybody's like, oh, when you get a chance, I really do need a reading. Oh, and I love you. Isn't that so sweet?
That's awesome.
So that's awesome, right?
Hey, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of love.
Okay, now we've got callers from all over the place. And
we've got callers from everywhere right now, but currently we're going to go over to Lisa in New York.
Good.
And she wants to know, basically, her boyfriend has broken up with her, and she wants to know if he's going to be coming back because she thinks she's getting signs from some angels, but she's not exactly sure.
Okay, well, that's a good summary. Hi, Lisa, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I know you have a little bit of a broken heart, so it's not always fine, but you're doing a brave front for us. But how long were you with this person, by the way?
Oh, not that long. I've known him since November, but we didn't start dating until Valentine's Day, actually.
Okay. And now you were with him from Valentine's Day to very recently?
Actually, he broke up with me on June 7th.
Okay, so we do remember the date. He's definitely one of those people that has a side of him that doesn't necessarily play fair with people.
Okay.
There wasn't a lack of love or relationship here, but he was giving you some mixed messages for a while. Did you catch them?
Yes.
Okay, because he's definitely a commitment phobic, and I almost hate saying this because I think people think it's the only word I know, but it's not me who's like really the person causing this. But he did come close. He does what a lot of sort of narcissistic commitment phobics do. They lure us in. They're pretty good. They come close to us. They say all the right things. They hear what we say. You know, narcissists are wonderful at hearing what we say. If we say, oh, my last lover cheated on me or didn't work, they'll say, oh, I'm hardworking, I would never cheat, and then all of a sudden they do a lot of the things they claim they never would do. I mean, he came close to you in the beginning and then slowly started to move away from you.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that you're really mourning the end of this relationship, and I know that's a hard thing to do, but I would never advise anybody not to mourn. The end of a relationship is like a death. And we can't bypass that by distracting and, you know, going out immediately with somebody else.
I have to say this myself. I strongly believe that I'm empathic, and when he broke up with me, the first thing that I came to my mind was that I felt fear, that I had to run away. And I knew that wasn't me. That's what
right.
I was thinking.
That he was running. And that was a message. It was no lack of love here. There's two paths in life, love or fear. And when someone runs from love, it's usually they're running from a higher love. All of us know that we've all stayed too long in toxic love, Nicole and me,
mm-hmm.
and too long in mediocre love because it doesn't demand that we heal. But a lot of people run in record time from a higher love, and he wasn't rejecting you. He was rejecting the higher love. He is looking a little bit inward, but I need to tell you, he didn't tell you the whole truth. It appears that he is seeing someone else. Are you aware of that?
No, because he was staying at my house for 2 weeks, and he had his phone on the whole time. I'm sure if there was somebody, his phone would have been ringing all the time.
Yeah, but it's not. It's been since that, you know. He's not doing his inner homework, looking inward and trying not to distract. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
He's immediately trying to replace you. Probably with someone who looks a lot like you, thinking that, okay, any woman is interchangeable with the next, and he's going to find that not to be the case.
Okay.
But he really is sort of going to be gone for a little while. It does show that a new love is going to come your way if he doesn't come around soon. How long are you willing to wait for him? Because your angels and guides are listening.
See, I'm not actually waiting. I mean, of course, I think about him. I'm not actually waiting because I'm looking for a job at the same time. That seems to be my main focus.
Okay, good.
But I can't help it from the. It's just a strong connection I feel with him, and it drives me insane. I don't know how else to explain.
Well, because he was soulfully connected. He did start out as a soulmate, and soulmates are very telepathic. That's how I talk to the dead, on the energy of love.
Okay.
And he does send you messages. I mean, his soul is not necessarily even coming from his mind, but the soul can separate and start sending messages. He does miss you, but it doesn't look like he's going to come back anytime soon. Have you thought about contacting him yourself?
See, but that's the whole thing. Like I said, he broke up with me June 7th, and since we had that lunar eclipse, okay, up until then, I hadn't even thought about calling him, but since we had the lunar eclipse, it's been going through my mind, and again, I can't tell if I'm picking that up from him or if it's a combination of me and him.
Also, any time you get a prompting to make a phone call, I would advise you to do it. Even if he tells you he's with someone else, even if he tells you he's not interested, it's almost better that we hear it so that we can't go on with hope or you know, or hear what he has to say to give some closure,
mm-hmm.
or to see that he's been thinking of you and he'll set up a date. Do you know what I'm saying? But at this point, it appears that you need to make the call. There is something you need to hear from him.
Okay.
It's not a lack of missing you at all, because he, you know, he does miss you.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, he has a history in relationships of sort of doing this. Are you aware of that?
See, that's one thing. I know that he's told me he's been hurt, really hurt in the past, but he didn't actually go into details, no.
Yes, and so, you know, this is a sort of a pattern with him, and he's really, you know, rejecting you before you could reject him, and in the future for you, though, is a really good man who is ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you. Why don't you do that prayer? Because, you know, rather than put a name on who this soulmate might be, start praying for a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit to you.
Uh-huh.
And you want to be a soulmate who's ready, willing, and able to love and commit back.
Okay.
But I would advise you to call him. I mean, your angels and guides aren't going to give me too much information because they want you to make that phone call. You know, you're hearing that voice. Whenever I've heard that voice and I've made a phone call, I mean, there's been times when I heard something I didn't want to hear, but I did need to know the truth. I did need to know what was going on. I mean, even if the truth is they're lying to you, telling you I don't miss you when you know that's a lie, in your his voice you'll hear the lie of it, but you'll also know he's not ready at this time.
Uh-huh. But see, he's a Virgo. He's a Virgo, and he's very analytical, and I don't know, he tried to break up with me before, and it didn't last for too long, so all he needed was his space, and then he came around, okay, but I don't know, I just feel like that's his lesson to learn, that he has to contact me. I don't know, is that...
No, and you did, I would say that's true, because in the beginning I would say not, in the, you know, this has been like 5 or 6 weeks now or more. At this point, It's not a bad thing for you to see what's going on. And part of it is just overcoming that master-slave thing where we get so afraid of these men or, you know, or these women to even pick up the phone. I mean, the fear of picking up the phone is so paralyzing that God would ask you, I don't want you to fear anybody or anything that much.
I hear everything you're saying. And like I said, I've been getting the need and the urge to call, but...
Again, just overcoming the fact, this is not like you trying to call the president of General Motors. This was your lover for, you know, 6 months. What is the big deal if you pick up the phone, if he lets you know he doesn't care about you, whatever he says? It still gets you so you don't have this massive fear growing inside of you.
Okay.
And it looks like you're going to get some information you need to hear.
Okay.
And in doing that, you're also, you know, if he, you know, acts like he doesn't care about you and you know he's lying, you'll at least say, well, he's not ready and I don't know when he will be ready, but I do need to move on.
Okay.
Because it doesn't, I'm not getting that he's going to contact you anytime soon unless you call him first.
See, and that's what it had to be the last time when he tried to break up with me. I gave him his space and then I got that need and the urge to call him, and I called him and everything was fine. I don't know. Is he scared?
He's definitely scared. I'll tell you what he's afraid of. He's afraid you still love him and he can't come to the plate, and he's afraid you don't love him. Either way, he's afraid of the call. Do you understand that? Part of what commitment phobics, I need to tell you,
uh-huh.
is there's a double-edged sword in their commitment phobia. They walk away from us, and the course of love is that you find somebody you treasure. You don't put them out on the market to find somebody else. But with commitment phobics, they're almost hoping you'll find somebody else. This way he gets off the hook and he can say, well, she didn't care about me all that much if she found somebody else.
So crazy, though. I'm not going to waste your time because I'm sure you have a lot of other. But let me tell you, when he broke up with me, and he's such a straightforward person generally that he never has to look at somebody to tell them something in their eye, you know, straight in their eyes. He couldn't do that with me when he broke up with me. And he gave me the lamest excuse, and then he proceeds after that to say, oh, well, if you start dating, just make sure you be careful. Why do you care? You just broke up with me. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
well, commitment phobics are masters of mixed messages. They give us one message and then another. They also do make up lame excuses. They also are cowards. That's why they can't go toward love. And so they can't look at you in the eyes. And so, you know, you're learning a lot about commitment phobics with his behavior. And the real giveaway is an otherwise nice person does something really cruel, like break up with us for no reason.
Yeah, that's holy moly, let me just tell you.
So, I mean, he fits the classic commitment phobics. It's, you know, if you get a chance, you know, in my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, there is a whole step on commitment phobia. And from what people have told me, it's probably the most brilliant step in the book that was channeled to me. Nicole, do you agree with that?
Yes, I do.
So, you know, it's really predictable. When you read it, you're going to start going, oh, my God, this is him. Oh, my God. So at least you start realizing the higher the love, the bigger the fear, the faster they run. So it's not that he's rejecting you. He's rejecting the higher love you have to offer. If you wanted to offer him toxic love or mediocre love, he'd still be here. But is that what you want?
And he told me that he told me his past relationships were for 2 or 3 years, and they were just sexual. And here I am not just, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, that's because they can stay in toxic love, mediocre, for a long time. People stay the whole lifetime in toxic love. You kidding me? You might know how they haven't killed each other. It's a testimony to something, but it's not love. It's abandonment and, you know, issues. So you stay with somebody you don't love all that much.
Oh my God.
That's the giveaway. People are running from a higher love. The proof is go sit in your car and drive for an hour. Every other love song is going to be about the love that got away.
Yeah.
How scary is that? You know, you think you're the only one with a broken heart. You go, oh, man, I'm listening to the radio for an hour. Every song's about a broken heart. Yeah, because people are running from a higher love.
That's all I've been hearing about, the breakup songs, and then they realize they made a mistake. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, so you could see you're not alone in this boat, but that doesn't make you feel any better. But my really from the heart advice for you is, even if you just call him to overcome the fact that you don't want to have this man that you're so afraid of and that he can nuke your whole world, and, you know, you will learn something. And if he acts like he hardly knows you, boy, you're going to really know he's really scared.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you, and keep listening to the show because we usually get the same kinds of topics, and you might hear something that pertains to you even in the next call or two.
Do you have any idea of when I should try to contact him?
I would say tomorrow.
Okay.
You know, I mean, just get the urge, call him. You know, wait until you really feel that impulse.
Okay.
And then just do it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Good luck, and let us know what happens.
Okay.
Bye. Okay. Nicole, I see we have a lot of other callers.
We do. Actually, I'm gonna give you a good one, Sin.
Oh, boy, they're
okay.
All good.
Oh, yeah. We're going out to Maura in Sag Harbor. Recently, I guess she got involved in a spiritual movement, and she developed a friendship with somebody, and she feels that there could be a possible betrayal, and she'd like to know how exactly she can carry out her highest spiritual good within this particular organization.
Okay, that's a very good question.
A very good question.
Oh,
hello, Maura, you're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
Hi, Maura. How are you now?
It's wonderful, and I do love you.
Oh, I know. You see, these are my clients. And she's also the best hairdresser, and when I'm on TV, she makes me look gorgeous, and I love her, and she's like the best. And Maura
Thank
and I
you.
Have talked about this, and I'm glad you called in, because
yes.
What I was telling her is we go into these new spiritual movements, and it's not long before they make all the same mistakes the Catholic Church has done and other organized religions, where they fall into these power struggles, and it's really, you know, hard. And you know, with Maura, though, she's really been struggling to hear her angels and guides. She does a wonderful meditation, and she's really getting into her spirituality. I need to tell you, you've got a few more lessons to learn to stay put here for a little bit.
Okay.
And, you know, study your craft and learn your craft there and your spiritual skills. But you've got the Wheel of Fortune spinning, so... So far, you've been really doing something very good. Maura's been learning to say what she means, mean what she say without being mean about it. She's getting bold in her statements. Is that correct?
To be sure.
She's overcoming her old souls. We're all old souls. We want everybody to like us. It's not always a good trait. You know, when I was first getting on the spiritual path and the first, 50 radio shows I did that weren't my own, my angel and guides were like, who is that wimpy lady? Like, why are you afraid of offending somebody? Why are you, tiptoeing around? Just say it like it is. Be bold. And it took me a long time to get that boldness, you know. I mean, and it's really, some people are going to hate me. They are. I'm going to be the Antichrist. It's okay. I can.
Hello?
I thought that was my job, Sin.
Hello?
Hello?
I was talking to Cindy and you cut me off.
I think we're still on the air, actually.
Oh, sorry.
I think actually we lost Cindy, so right now all of our callers and listeners are listening to you and I talk.
Oh, this is wonderful.
So, Mara, you're going to be my co-host until I can get Cindy back on the line.
That would be terrific. And she was so correct. I'm definitely learning my voice in this and not being such a wimp. And I'm definitely learning not to be nice, say what I mean without being mean. I'm telling you, I'm quivering my boots. I shake every time I do it, but it's been rewarding.
All right. Now, let me ask you something, Mara. Do you mind telling everybody what movement you're involved in, or do you want to keep that to yourself?
I think I should keep it to myself, yeah.
Okay.
But
all right.
It is a spiritual center, and it's new. It's fairly new, you know, and it's going through a lot of changes. And maybe I can say it, why hide? It's the Long Island, the East End New Thought Spiritual Center.
Okay. All right, and do you want to tell people maybe like what they do there? So maybe if somebody else
would
be interested.
It's actually, you know, it's just gone through a lot of transitions because a few of our ministers have left, you know, in the last year, and, you know, they're trying to pick up the pieces, so there's a lot of personalities. But basically, it's a new thought spiritual center. It's non-denominational. And it's all about, you know, it incorporates, new thought incorporates unity, science of mind, you know, and it welcomes all religions, but it's all about higher consciousness, you know, and all about what Cindy was talking about, you know, how your mind, you know, and being in connection with source and being in touch with the divinity within you, you know. It's Science of Mind was founded, really, a book on Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
And the potential for it to be a fantastic movement is great. You know, the potential is absolutely great, and it would be fabulous. I could, you know, see a huge center out here, you know. And
oh, I think that's wonderful.
Yes, it can be fantastic. And there's some very wonderful people involved, you know. And it's just, you know, and I want to serve my higher purpose here, you know. And, you know, we're all growing, and there's personalities, and we're all going through our stuff, you know. And
mm-hmm.
It's kind of staying grounded and staying focused on your higher purpose. And, of course, all your old stuff comes up, you know. And it's like a family, and you're trying to overcome that, you know, your personality, and stick to the highest good, you know, and be true to your inner divinity yourself, which can be very difficult at times because we're all very, very human, you know. And you know, and that has been, you know, a challenge for me. But lately, as you know, it has been so much better, and I've definitely found my courage to step up and say what I mean, and you know, and do what I say.
Oh, that
and
I think that is absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I think that's wonderful. And you know what? I think we have Cindy back on the line, so I'm going to put her back in, and then hopefully she can help you out a little bit furthermore. But I just want to say that I think that it's a fabulous movement, and I hope all of our listeners heard that. Anything that could help us get, you know, in touch with our higher good and with our spirituality, you know, which will in turn bring more love back into our lives, is always a good thing. So let me see if I can get Cindy patched back in. Hello, Cindy.
Oh, my goodness. You know, when I said, oh, people are going to think I'm the Antichrist, well, I got a blackout. We're going to have a blackout here. I mean, I'm like, okay, so, you know, yeah, I can't be afraid of that, you know.
Well, you know what, Mara was about to get all mad at me, and she thought that I cut her off, and I'm like, actually, no, we lost Cindy, so we proceeded without you.
I know, and I was like, can you believe it? All of a sudden, here in the total blackout of all time. And saying, that's what I get for saying, I guess the cosmic message, yeah, people are going to think you're the Antichrist, but be bold. So,
goodness.
So with Mara and with everybody on a spiritual path, you need to use your own, you know, your own inner guidance, if something doesn't ring true or doesn't seem true, you know, you have to kind of reevaluate it. And, you know, that we're all struggling for a spiritual path, and it's not easy, but like she was saying, we're all human, and sometimes, you know, the humanness of us, our own egotist, you know, being egotistical or narcissism or someone's selfishness or greed gets in the way. So, again,
I have to say, though, I have been finding my feet, you know. I have been stepping up to the plate and you know, being true to myself and you know, finding my voice and not being worried about what people think or what people don't think, you know. And I have been a voice on this committee, you know, and I had to rein them in a few times, you know, and I even did it today. And actually, the response has been fairly good, you know. I think I'm getting some respect from that.
Right, and that's the whole thing, that you are getting definitely much more on your spiritual path, and that will continue. And, you know, just take it one day at a time, and your own inner voice has been guiding you so far, and I'm sure it will.
Mm-hmm.
And,
okay.
You know, stay strong in your wanting to go on that spiritual path. It's not easy.
No. I wanted to ask you another question. With this friend that I had made at the center that had moved away, you know, we've been talking on a regular basis, and we've had, set boundaries, you know, and one boundary had been broken already, but we repaired it and whatever. But I don't know why, as I was sitting at the meeting today, one girl said something, and I just felt that another boundary had been broken, you know, confidence. And because I know this person's talking to this woman, which is fine, and I wanted to know, basically, was I in touch with the truth of the situation, or is this just my own stuff?
No, you're really in touch with the truth of it, and as hard as it may be to accept, it is just a way of, you know, growing and learning, and it was a good lesson in you trusting your own gut and instincts.
Yeah.
You know, definitely your perception was correct.
Yeah, I'm just a little hurt because I thought we were building a good friendship, you know, and I was very honest and revealing, and it just feels now that I just feel right now that I just can't trust that person in that way anymore.
Probably not for a while, and if ever again. And I found in the spiritual world, some people walking under the guise of spirituality have probably hurt me more than other people who would never even speak those words about spirituality. So it does seem to hurt a little more because we are trusting them, but it's not uncommon.
Yeah. Do you think it's a wise choice to, because I'm not going to contact him, but I think he may contact me at some point, to bring this up?
Yeah, it would be best to air the linen and get it going, the dirty laundry now, and get it going and find out what's really there and what's going on.
Yeah. Okay. I wanted to know is, actually, you know, as you were talking about my meditations, actually, you know, they've been giving the meditations away to other people, even if whatever, and that's fine. And somehow, you know, I thought I'd have a lot of feeling around that. But actually, I don't have a lot of feeling about that, you know. I would like to get the opportunity, but I really don't have a lot of feeling about that, you know. And is that a spiritual growth thing for me? Or?
Well, right now it's just a time of you trying to evaluate where you're going. So, you know, just take it one day at a time and don't force anything.
Yeah.
And if it's meant to be the path that you're on, you'll go back to it. You just need to take a step back a little bit.
Okay.
Now you've been hurt, you've been disillusioned, and you know, you have to revamp and find out where you're going with all of your spirituality.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, good luck, Maureen. Thanks for calling in. Calling
and thank you.
Caller. And I don't have a computer operating right now, so I'm lucky I have a phone because it's not attached to the computer, this one right now. So, Nicole, we have someone else calling in.
We are. We're actually going to go into yet another great question. We're going to go to Shannon out in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And she is, and she's very spiritual. She has finally found the one, Cindy, who she's extremely spiritually connected to. And unfortunately, she feels that somebody in her family is trying to sabotage this. and she would like to know who and why, because she really wants to have the greatest life experience with this person, and she just can't wait to move forward, and she just has that constant tugging of somebody pulling her in a direction that she really doesn't want to go in. So we're going to move on to Shannon out in Pennsylvania. Hello, Shannon, you're on the air.
How are you?
I am fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. And so you're feeling you don't know who the person is who's doing this, or you have a pretty good idea?
I don't really know, but I definitely know that it's my side of the family. And thing is that they have not talked to him. So, you know, I don't understand why. But I definitely know that something is going on with my side of the family. Somebody does not wish me to be happy, and every time I turn around and the more spiritual I get, wow, they attack me even more than they ever did. So I got out of that hostile environment, and but there's still that going on with creating blocks and preventing my happiness and preventing things from going in the flow that need to be going in, and it's definitely not me. So,
okay, and again, sometimes, you know, when someone has a soulmate, it really goes against a tribe of people or family who may not have a higher love. It appears from these cards a lot of the people in your world do not have good relationships.
Correct.
And you threaten a soulmate.
Right.
Love is a beacon of light for the world to see, and it really does threaten other people because, you know, they know toxic love, they know mediocre, but only 5% of the world actually has a soulmate love. And
yes.
So this is a different animal than them, and they get jealous, like, why should you have this? And most of our families, when they're dysfunctional, are what I call karmic mates. They have massive fears of abandonment. They're very abusive to us. They've taught us that love is pain. And,
yes.
You know, in the history of the world, you know, parents have known to treat two children very well and one very bad. It's the one they treat bad who wipes their ass when they're dying because that child's so desperate for the parental love.
You just hit the nail on the head. I am proudly the black sheep of the family, and it's always been that way with me.
And there's a reason for it. And now, if you have soulmate love, that goes against what they've been setting up for you, because now you have someone who's going to love you heart, soul, mind, and body. The whole main relationship in the world is soulmate. You have this, and you won't be there to wipe their ass when they need it. So they don't want you to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the more you can realize that they don't want you to be happy because their own fears are keeping it. And, you know, in my book I talk about the sins of conditional love. It's narcissism, jealousy, envy, greed. You know, they're being greedy because they want you for themselves. They're being envious and jealous and narcissistic and selfish. And what kinds of things are they doing? Is it things they're saying, or are they actually, you know, doing something physical to make it, you know, a phone call? What are they doing that makes you feel they're undermining it?
When I first started talking to this gentleman, my mom instantly started screaming at me and accusing me of all these things because I was upstairs talking to this person. I said, oh my goodness, you don't
even
know.
So right there, she was jealous that you were talking to him. She was envious, and she wanted to embarrass you in front of him.
Yes, and, you know, it's just an ongoing thing with my sisters and that. My mother attacking my youngest child and using profound language on him and throwing things at him, and it's just a whole world of everything, and I'm like, okay, you know what, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. I'm getting away from the negativity. And she says, well, you don't say anything. I don't say anything because no matter what I say, you're not going to like it, so it's best just to leave an environment and not deal with it. And I will tell you what, last night, being out of that house, I haven't felt so happy within myself in months because I've been pulled down in despair and crying and just full of pain, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Oh, my gosh, that is where the negativity is coming from, And then previously, I have been told that somebody in my family was jealous, and then I'm driving down the road today, not thinking of anything, and all of a sudden, it came loud and clear as a message, you need to find out who's sabotaging your relationship, because this is why it's going the way it is, and it is in your family.
And you also have to not let them make you sad and upset. And so you begin to sabotage the relationship because you're crying, you're upset, you're depressed. And suddenly, you know, this love is not bringing out the best in you. So it's you really deciding that this man is important to you and that you're going to stick your 2 feet in it. And you have to draw the boundaries how people treat you. You'll make no excuses for their abuse. You will have to understand we have to stop being loyal to people who don't deserve our loyalty. It appears you're still living in the house, so you would have to also get financial independence so you're not dependent on these people.
I definitely am never dependent. I've always been very independent, been very strong, been very spiritual, and I will honor God and the ascended masters no matter what. They don't understand, and that's fine. I am not in that environment because I said in a very polite manner, I cannot do this anymore. I know that I have things that I have to take care of, and I have to be strong enough to do it on my own.
Right, and that's exactly it. And
I told my mother, I'm like, I'm not angry with you. I do not wish to argue. I love you. Have a good night. This is something that I have to do for me.
Good. And that's drawing some boundaries. Nicole, do you have anything to add to that about drawing some boundaries and how people can treat her a little bit
better? Absolutely. I could definitely, excuse me, I can definitely say that I've been in similar circumstances where there was definite boundary issues. And actually, there was a very, very good book that got me started on that. It was by John Bradshaw, and it was called The Family. And basically what he does is he breaks down that family dynamic and he discusses how people become enmeshed in each other's lives.
And that's
okay.
The word. Enmeshment is a term that's very important. Enmeshment means people are violating our boundaries. They do this from the day we're born, so we don't know where we begin and they end. And
exactly.
So it's trying to pull the cords one by one of these people that we're enmeshed with. And enmeshment happens when we have fears of abandonment. So part of it is you overcoming your own fear of abandonment and not being afraid if you walk away from these people, if you stop having them in your life, you know, that it's going to matter because it really isn't going to matter because they're certainly not adding to your life.
That's exactly what I did. And I do have to tell you, I had a wonderful two-hour Reiki session on Monday. Tuesday, things blew up and all these negative things happened. Wednesday, I was out of the house. So,
good for you. And so, again, try to work on understanding that people do this. They disempower us because of their own fears of abandonment and they want to keep us weak and they don't want us to be happy. But how foolish that is. If people empower us and make us happy, of course we'll be there for them when they need us. We love them. Why wouldn't we be there? We're there because we love you, not because we fear abandonment and because you've tortured us so much that, you know, we're still trying to get your love when we're 100 years old. So it's treat each other with love and respect. And, yes, you'll be there. We'll be there when you need us. It's a different kind of thinking.
Yes, it is. Could you give me any insight on my gentleman? His name is Justin.
Okay, let's take a look at Justin. He's definitely soulmate material here. You both have a little bit of a battle ahead of you because both of you are going to have to fight for this love. Soulmate love always has some obstacles to overcome. And, you know, just you overcoming some of your psychological issues would be important.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, work toward it. It looks very promising here, though. Really does.
Yeah, right now he's just being a little booger and he's not talking right now. That's his thing. I think that he goes into isolation and tries to find a solution on his own.
And again, you might, you know, talk to him about that you two need to talk and work it out among each, you know, with each other. Because, you know, sometimes, you know, there's a soulmate card here, but his behavior could start dragging it down to something else if you get angry and you feel like you can't communicate with him.
Mm-hmm.
So work on the communications. Again, that little sound bite, say what you mean what you say, but don't be mean about it. And
exactly.
Keep the communication open. And tell him that it hurts you when he won't communicate with you. Because, again, if you don't work on communication, the love doesn't stay a soulmate. So,
Now, why does he not show, why is he holding back his feelings?
Well, again, that goes to people fearing higher love. And they're so afraid of being rejected or hurt. So most of us spend our whole life, you know, trying not to love too much so we don't get hurt if people leave or, God forbid, they die on us. So it's all that protection. We've all got to, like, lay down the protection, get the barbed wires away from the heart and, you know, the guard dogs away. You know, risk something, risk being hurt. You know, we'll all survive that. You know, but once people start to build up defenses, that is going to limit the soulmate love. It won't be soulmate love anymore. So you need to, you know, slowly get him to trust you. But if he starts moving away from you rather than closer, you can tell he's getting scared, he's running. And, you know, we have to, you know, tell people, this is not what I signed on for. I signed on for, you know, love and commitment. I didn't sign on for you to love me today and then run tomorrow. So be careful, because people, you know, he has a tendency that most people do to fear that higher love. I mean, that's the whole reason behind my show and my mission is, please keep your 2 feet in the higher love and stop running, and run like hell from toxic love. We're running in the wrong directions. So good luck to you. We do have a few more callers. We don't have too much time left. Nicole, can you pick up 6, please?
Okay. We had somebody holding in the queue, but hold on. Hello? You're on the
Hello?
Air.
Hello. Hi. Hello.
This me?
Yes, this is TJ. Yes, I saw you tried to call in. We had a blackout here, so I lost power for a little bit.
Okay.
But everything's running.
Okay, I was concerned when you disappeared, but Nicole did one heck of a job.
TJ, is my living soulmate who probably wondered if somebody came and strangled me in the middle of the show. You know?
I don't know what could have possibly have happened. You're watching, but I've been listening to the show, and it's just wonderful. I'm just wondering again, what date are you going to be at that book fair in East Hampton?
Okay, East Hampton's
the author's night or whatever.
Okay, it's Authors Night, August 14th, and TJ keeps promoting this because it's such a great event, and there'll be, you know, Alec Baldwin there, there'll be Candace Bushnell, Sex in the City, there'll be Stuart Woods, there'll be some of the Real Housewives of New York. Of course, I'll be there, and some of the authors from Long Island Author will be signing our books. There'll be wine and some food, and it's a fundraiser for the East Hampton Library, so it's really a great event, so if you can get there, we'd love to see you.
Yeah, and Nicole, good job there. I thought you were pretty amazing.
You liked my filling up.
It was kind of good radio there, like something just disappeared, you know. First the girl was saying, you cut me off the air, and you said, no, we didn't cut you off the air. Cindy's off the air. That was great. But listen, go get one last caller. Anyway, you all take good. I'm listening.
Thanks.
Great,
I know.
Radio.
I know he's
driving.
Right.
I really love it. I feel like I'm in the back roads of Pennsylvania driving home.
Okay,
goodbye. I'll see you in a little bit. Ciao.
Bye. So I know there's all that special effects here, you know, power outage.
Oh, yeah.
But I need to tell
awesome.
You, the power almost never goes out in here, but it does go out when I'm doing tarot card readings and, like, tell somebody, if you don't stop dealing those drugs, God's going to strike you dead. Blackout! You know, those kinds of...
You know what? I've been getting validation left and right on a bunch of different things since, so I know exactly what you mean there.
So, of course,
oh,
here I was
goodness.
Sitting in blackness, you know, it was fun. Anyway, we have time for one more caller.
We have time for one more caller. We're going to go over to Robin in Indiana, and she's going to have a birthday next week.
Wow.
And
in
August.
Want to share what date it is?
I don't know the date, but I'm sure she'll tell you that when we get on the air. She's going to be, actually, I'm not even going to divulge her age just in case she doesn't want to. But basically in August, she's going to be divorced for about 4 years now. And she'd like to know, you know, in this new portion of her life,
whether or not, you know, she's finally going to get that perfect person or that perfect soulmate for her. So we're moving over to Robin in Indiana. Hello, Robin. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Robin.
Hi. I will be 37 on the 29th.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if you wanted to share. That's why.
The reason that I need to
that's
ask
okay.
is because there is generational karma. And unfortunately, you've been the you're like this sort of sandwiched between my daughter, who's 30, that generation who can't commit to the word relationships, it's booty calls, friends with benefits, and hookups, or the generation that's a little bit 39, 40, 41, who are, you know, claim to want love and then run from it. So this is, for you, though, going to be a very good year. Relationships do work, or lack of them, in five-year cycles. Now you've reached the 4 years of divorce. You've been standing on your own 2 feet. Ha-ha, that's when the prince comes and we can stand on our own 2 feet. And this year, he's definitely coming. He's close to your age. It shows the Knight of Swords, and the Page of Swords is a woman. You're very well matched psychologically. Next to him was the King of Swords, which shows he's going to be with you when he's a much older man. It shows children. Do you want children, or do you have children already?
I have two.
So there's two kids in the picture, and then there's actually a possible another one. It could be biological, or it could be his child. It's really a great year. I mean, this is going to be the year of your life. I mean, when the soulmate comes and it's right, it becomes the time of your life. You know, this has been my favorite year of my entire life with TJ, and I hope and I think Nicole's having the time of her life right now.
You know what? I have to say, I think this is my favorite year, too.
Okay, so this is coming up in your card, a very strong year. You know, the universe is frantic to bring soulmate love to people who have walked away from toxic or mediocre in a divorce, because our children always have to relive the marriage they saw before the age of five. So your kids haven't seen such great stuff. So this soulmate is to show them if we leave a relationship that's not great, and we don't want to make the mistake so many women do. They have the courage to walk away from that son of a bitch and that bad love, but they don't embrace a higher love. And then you teach your children, well, there's either toxic love or nothing. So you're either going to run away and never commit to love, or you're going to stay in toxic love too long. This soulmate is being brought to be a to show your children what soulmate love looks like, so that when they have to relive your mess, let's hope they do it when they're young, maybe with their first dating situation, and then they could forgive you because they could see how easy it is to mess up a relationship. They will have this role model to look up to. So it is really coming. Just go about your life. This is going to be your year. Oh, my God. You have, phenomenal heart. And I'm not wrong on it. You know, you could hear the callers calling in. I predicted Nicole's soulmate love, and yours is a
Let's not go too far now, Sam.
She's afraid. She's of the generation. They can't even call it a relationship yet, but I'll call it what it is. I'll say the words for her. But for you, Robin, very good things are going to be here for you. So, just keep praying for that soulmate. And have you written down what your ideal soulmate would be like? Have you written a list yet?
I have, but I think, you know, in healing and growing up, even within the last year, that my perspective has changed, that some things aren't so important.
But here's the thing, though, sweetheart. Like, those things, and actually I'm interrupting for two reasons. Number one, I'm just going to tell everybody right now, got about a minute and a half left. So if anybody, the other callers, I'm sorry that I didn't get a chance to screen you and get to you guys, but we are going to continue with Robin's call, and the rest of her call, if you guys get cut off, is going to be available on the podcast that is located at www.blogtalkradio.com/higher-love. Okay, that's all I wanted to tell our listeners. And now, Robin, to you, I've made my list about 100 different times. The list isn't permanent. You're not carving it into stone. You can change those things as you see fit. You know, this is not like, you know, like receiving the Ten Commandments or something like that, where you've got like two stone placards that you could never change them. You know what was great about the Ten Commandments? That you can break those things if you wanted to. So you know what? We're lucky.
Well,
we have pen
and
paper.
We've all broken a few of those commandments. Let's not go there.
We've etched a few out right now. Well, at least I know I've etched a few out, because if you ask a lot of people out there, I'm still going to hell, so that's all right. But you know what I'm saying?
But it's just one of those things where, you know what, I've changed my list, you know, and I've added to it, and I've taken things away from it, and then I've written letters to God, I've written letters to the universe saying, please bring me this, bring me that, you know, I'm going to work for this, I'm going to work for that, and I make sure that I don't put anything in the negative. Okay, I don't say, well, I don't want this and I don't want that in my letter. Everything has got to be affirmative. Everything is positive. I would like someone who blah, blah, blah.
And then, of course,
say
thy will
someone.
Be done. Say thy will be done. Because
and thy will be done is
God
right.
God may know something you don't know, and God may bring you even additional great traits in a man that you don't even know you want. So that's the little thy will be done.
When I'm finished with this letter, is there something in particular I'm supposed to do with this, or
no? You just
keep it
close to you and read it, and periodically add to it. And the reason that it's so wonderful when you write this list, when you meet the person within about 10 or 15 minutes, at least 15 of the things you either said you wanted or words you said you wanted to hear come out, and you'll be going, "Oh my God, this is it! Oh wow!" Well, so it'll help you recognize the person when he comes. So that's the most important thing.
Did you say he was going to be much older than me?
No, I said he was going to be close to your age but be with you for a very long time.
Oh, okay.
So he's going to grow with you, and this relationship is really going to be phenomenal. So just keep your eyes out for it.
And Robin, I'm going to add something else to that because what Cindy is saying is absolutely true. Okay, because I used to have this thing or whatever, and I have a vision board, and I have pictures and this and that and everything else, and on my list, I specifically said that I wanted somebody with light eyes, okay? And then all of a sudden I realized, you know what, I'm really being very shallow by requesting only somebody that has got green or blue eyes. So I said, okay, you know what, I would like light eyes, however, if the right person had brown eyes, then I would not be turning them away. And I have to tell you that when I met my friend, and I'm not saying I'm in a relationship, but when I met my friend, okay, my friend with whom I spent some time, I have to tell you, I met her and I laughed to myself because not only did she have brown eyes, but she constantly wears blue contacts. So I'm exactly what I asked for.
She is so perfect for you. Huh?
So there you go. Now, unless she had said that, she wouldn't get the great cosmic metaphor, the great cosmic joke from God saying,
oh, absolutely.
I heard what you said. I heard what you said. In this modern technology, we can change these things.
You know, and it's like, and somebody actually, when they asked me about my list, they said, so what happened, and, you know, does she fit any criteria on your list? And I said, yes, she fits, you know, a lot of the criteria on my list. And then they turned around and said, really? Well, does she have brown eyes or blue eyes? I said, well, actually, she has both.
Well, that's the best
that's
news
great.
We heard. And, you know, now I hope, Robin, you'll call us and let us know what's happening.
Definitely.
Because I love when I get the calls on, either on the show, people emailing me at cindybella@verizon.net or going on my website, www.grantmeahigherlove.com, and dropping me a note or calling me on my phone, which is listed there, that basically says, oh, I fell in love. I'm happy. So that's what I live for here. That makes my day. So we like hearing that. And I would honestly say I've probably heard that now 1,000 times in the last 3 years. So the message
awesome.
Is getting out there.
So there's only a few more months left in this year, so we're talking this year, right?
I would say this year, beginning from a year from now, between now and your next birthday. We're starting this year as your birthday year.
Yeah, we don't follow the calendar, honey.
Yeah,
we follow your
birthday
year.
I was pushing. Okay.
Well, good luck to you,
well,
and we are taking off next week. And Nicole, we will be back in 2 weeks.
All right. And
awesome. Thank you.
Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.